Brethren, we would like to spend this time, as you know, looking at the lessons from the life of Abraham. The story is very long and there are many lessons, beautiful lessons. So if you don't cover them all, don't feel bad, because we can always go back and you can study at home. And the way we would like to start, we would like to refresh in our minds main events in the life of Abraham by simply marking them on this chart. And you had the chart ahead of time, and I know that you're good students and you prepared your homework, so I hope this is going to go really fast. We will be able to mark those events. And then we will listen to what you brought with you as far as the beautiful passages, as the lessons you especially appreciate, brought up in Brother Russell's writings, or maybe something you just noticed recently, which is particularly of interest to all of us. So let's start by trying to mark the scriptures and the events on this chart. They don't have to be in any particular sequence, so if you have something you'd like to mark as far as this chronological line is concerned, raise your hand and give your scripture and tell us what happened to Abraham at this time, and we'll mark it on the board. Sister Wanda, please.
And may I start with Genesis 11:26, and why I am starting there. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram. Therefore, now it shows me the beginning of his life.
Okay, very good. This is the first reference to life of Abraham, so it will be 11:26. Now, do you have any thoughts if Abraham was the firstborn or not? If not, we'll, Sister Donna?
Well, he was the youngest. He was Terah was 130 when Abram was born.
Very good. That's an interesting thought. Do we have scriptures to substantiate that 130? I know that Brother Russell is quoting this in his work, that he was 130, and we do accept, although Brother Erwin asked me before the meeting, where is this number coming from? And I couldn't point to that number. It's generally accepted that when his father was 130, that would bring us to the point where Abraham was leaving Haran after the death of his father. That would give us also another date here, but I don't want to confuse this picture. Okay, we have the first scripture marked, the beginning of life of Abraham, who probably was not the firstborn, but this is where it starts. Who else would like to contribute? Sister Kathy?
Just to note that that would be the year 2120 BC.
2120 BC. Very good. Sister Florence? If you raise your hand, I can direct the mic towards you, so please move your hands.
This is not in sequence, but after the first, or after the one, that would be when he was 86 years old, Genesis 16:16, Ishmael born.
Very good. So, 16:16 here. And Abraham was 86 years old. I will mark it here.
Very good. Margaret and Brother Joe. Okay.
The arrow pointing to the 75 year, isn't that Genesis 12:4 when Abraham departed from Haran?
Very good.
And he took with him his nephew Lot, and also he took with him his wife and his children.
Very good. So this will be departing from Haran. I
marked it improperly.
Verse 4,
depart from Haran.
So he's departing from Haran. Brother Joe, what's next?
Same scripture.
Okay. Sister Rhonda.
I appreciate what Sister said on 12:4, but I want to also include 1 through 4, because this is the first time we have the recording where Abram, is spoken to by the Lord. And because if he's given the thought of a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That to me was important, because if he just departs, why?
Very good. So around this time the promise was given to him as well. That's an important thing. I will mark it as another arrow of your promise. Okay. What else? What are the other events marked here on the chart? They're easy. Sister Dorothea.
Genesis 16:3 is for the 10-year period.
Yes.
And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife.
I mark Hagar, the servant woman of Sarah, or Sarai at this point, given by her to Abraham. Very good. And we know, very easy, 1 year later, yes, Sister Arfrida.
Do you have the 75 in the first arch that Abraham was 75 years old?
No, we didn't quote the scripture.
Well, yes, it's same one. It's Genesis 12:4. It brings out that Abraham was 75 years old.
Okay, we didn't point to that fact. Very good. A year later, after Sarah gave Abraham his servant, we know that we have the birth of Ishmael, which is recorded in Genesis 16:16. So Ishmael is already marked. So the birth of Ishmael at 86. What else were you able to find? Sister Joy in the back.
I'm looking after the 13,
yes.
Between the 13 and the 1. Genesis 17:5. It has a lot of things in there. Abram's name was changed to Abraham. Circumcision was commanded. Sarai's name was changed to Sarah. I don't know how I had this on the same one. 17:16 and 19, Sarah was promised a son. Genesis 17, this is all in that same one. And Genesis 17:19, it said that his name would be Isaac, and he would be the child of covenant, whereas in verse 20 it said Ishmael would be the father of a great nation, and that all happened in that one arrow.
Very good. I marked it 17:1-24, and the important events here are that Abraham was given the promise of the son, his name was changed, his wife's name was changed, and also the circumcision took place. This is when the Lord marked his friendship with him. Sister Violet.
I really think there's two parts to this.
Excellent.
I think 17:1, he was 99.
Yes.
And by 17:17, he was 100. That's a year later.
Yes. That's of course, it's true. Violet, again.
I also think that your chart would probably be better if you had Sarah starting with Isaac's birth rather than a year earlier.
Probably. That's true.
Because the 37 yeah. would make her 128 when she died instead of 127.
Yes, that's right. I wouldn't argue with that. The scripture I had to mark the 100 years of Abraham is in Genesis 21:5. So, 21:5 says precisely what you just said, that when Abraham was 100 years old, a son was born to him, and this was the one who was promised to him a year earlier when he was 99. That's right. Sister, go ahead. Lorraine.
17:17 says, "Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" They're thinking that she's going to conceive, but that child's not going to come until a year later. So he's not 100 years old here. He's thinking in terms of her conceiving, and then have by the time they have that child, he would be 100 years old.
That's precisely true.
I don't want to argue with that. Margaret?
I think they're all true. And also verse 5 from chapter 21, verse 10 from chapter 18 speaks of the promise. The three visitors, the three angels, were speaking to Abram about the promise that she would conceive, and that would be a year later. So it's kind of implied there that, you know, the promise was fulfilled a year later.
Okay, so around the same time, when he was 99, we know that he had this conversation with three messengers, which we mentioned this morning even in the question. Very good. Let's continue, and we have couple left. Sister Wanda.
May I suggest Genesis 18:23 onward. Now this is where Sodom and Gomorrah are to receive the penalty. And this is where Abraham pleads for them. And if there would be 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10, would you save them?
So when did this take place? How old was Abraham?
I was 99 plus.
Right.
So it will probably be somewhere here. I will mark it later.
Very good. Sister Joy?
I didn't mark down that one at the very top that comes between 1 and 40.
Yes.
Is Genesis 21:5. That's when Isaac was born.
Yes.
And then 40 years later, you have the arrow below the line, and it goes way down below.
Yes.
But I'm going ahead of myself a little bit, because just before that, after the 37 is when Sarah died, Genesis 23:1. That's after the 37 below the line. And then the arrow at the end of 40 is Genesis 25:20, when Rebecca came as the bride.
Excellent. We have two more to go, and we'll focus on Brother Erwin.
The 20 years would be Genesis 25:26. That would be the birth of Jacob and Esau.
25:26. Okay, and the last one? 25:7. Very good. So, we briefly marked the events which are chronologically clearly mentioned in the scriptures concerning the life of Abraham and also his son. Now, the reason I wanted to do that is to refresh it, first thing in our minds, what really happened in his life. So we know that first he lived where? In Mesopotamia, in the area of Ur Chaldean. And if you had time to read Joshua 24:2, you would know that his parents, or his family, they worship idols there, as is reported by Joshua. So Abraham, probably from his youngest age, rebelled against that. So that's why he and his father, they left, and they continued towards the promised land. But as it was mentioned earlier, probably they stopped for 5 years. When he was 70, as Brother Russell indicates, he came to Ur and dwelled there for 5 years before entering into the land which was promised to him when he was 75 years old. And then we have other events which we didn't mention yet. What happened next on its way when he was trying to go to the promised land. There were some significant events which took place, which will maybe come back in a moment, but we already mentioned that Hagar gave him a son. It was Ishmael, but he was really not the son, the heir of his goods and whatever he had, because his real son, born from Sarah, was born some 14 years later when he was 100 years old. When Isaac was born, Rebecca died when Isaac was probably 36 years old, and he got married when he was 40. And then he had a son, Jacob, when he was 20. We still have some events we would like to mark here on this chart, because there were some significant events in the life of Abraham which took place somewhere in here, and I would like you to recall them at least briefly so we can position them on this line. There were some interesting stories which happened to him. Yes.
Well, in chapter 15, the Lord makes a contract with him, a land contract, where he promises him the land.
The covenant took place as it is described in the 15th chapter. Now, where should I mark that, roughly? We don't have a precise indication, but probably in between here.
They came out of the land of Ur, of Chaldees, or to the land of... Wait a minute. Brought thee out of the land of Ur, of Chaldees, yeah.
That's right. That's for the first time in the Bible the covenant is mentioned. And the covenant, the Hebrew word covenant, comes from cutting in half. And you recall that in this passage we are given those details that Abraham offered those animals which were cut in half. So that's where the covenant comes from. Very good. What else do you recall from his life which is important? Brother Erwin.
I'd like to mention that, as long as Lorraine brought up the 15th chapter, that's the first land title deed that was given to Abraham at the end of the chapter, that wherever these tribes lived, that would automatically be your land. So God specifically mentioned this land.
So first real estate transaction took place.
Yes, right.
Very good. David may like that. Sister Joy.
Well, I went through chronologically, and in Genesis 11:30 it says Sarah was barren, and that was exceedingly important. And we're supposed to go to the New Testament to see relative experiences, and that represents the 2,000 years that they waited for Christ or the grace covenant, because up until that time they only had the law covenant. So that's what it means by Sarah was barren.
Excellent. We are slowly shifting towards the prophetic and moral lessons. So maybe at this point, before we do that, I just wanted to bring to your attention something I thought is a small detail here, but I appreciated it very much. Very much. In Hebrews 11, we have this chapter describing the heroes of faith. And in this passage related to Abraham, we read verse 8 and 9. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. If you look at this chart, you will notice how old was Jacob when Abraham died. Joanna? He was 15 years old. So usually the brethren comment on this text that it was, you know, by faith that they did not live together. But if you look at this, you will not notice that for 15 years, so Jacob was 15 when his grandfather died, so he had a pretty good knowledge of his grandfather. He had ample amount of time to talk to him. And I think it was a blessing for Isaac and from Jacob to physically live together and dwell in tents all over the promised land. And I personally didn't know that when I look at the story of Abraham. When I learned it, I thought it was interesting that they had this personal relationship. Very good. So now I would like to encourage you to give your lessons and maybe other points, highlights from his life, which seem important to you. Brother George.
Well, I think it would be good to bring out the lessons relative to the promise of the inheritance in Acts 7, kind of 1 to 5, perhaps.
Yes. Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Yes, please.
This is the Stephen talking at the time of his stoning, perhaps starting with verse 2. And he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. And he said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I will show thee. Then he came out of the land of Canaan and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land where ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, not so much as to set his foot on it. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child." What the implication of this is Abraham never received one foot of an inheritance of that promised land, that he owned it. And so the inference is, he would receive this inheritance ultimately, that would be in the kingdom, and since he made it very strong that he didn't receive it in his life, and that he would receive it, and that he would leave it to his children, implies that Abraham would have a spiritual reward after the kingdom is over, because he was going to have this inheritance. He didn't have it then. He would have it in the kingdom, but that then he would leave it to his children.
Very good.
And so the only way he could leave it to his children is he would not have the inheritance, because, as Brother Russell suggests, at the end of the kingdom, he would leave it to his children and he would receive a spiritual reward.
Very good. We appreciate that thought. Notice that from the moment Abraham left Haran and started the journey to the promised land, on and off, it took him 100 years. Because since he was 75 and he died when he was 175, the 100 years of his life, the last 100 years, he spent wandering to, from, and out of the promised land. To be 100% precise, Abraham bought a small piece of the land. Who can tell me what did he really buy? He really made it specific that he wants a contract for that. And he got a contract for this, even though someone offered him this for free. But, yes, Brother George?
He bought a grave site for his
wife. That's right. That was the grave site for his wife, in the plain of Mamre, and it's near Hebron, as those of you who are there probably can recall. What else? What are the other lessons, prophetic or moral lessons from the story of Abraham? Sister Harriet.
Genesis 21:9, it says, "And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking." So now this is bringing in the 400 years of affliction. And if you take that going backward, it shows when the comments brings out that it's 25 years after the covenant was made. So if you go back the 25 years, which is 75 years of Abraham's life, the covenant in Genesis 12 is when it was made, when Abraham was 75 years old.
Very good. We appreciate that thought. Margaret and Brother Joe. And Brother Victor would be next.
Also along the same lines of Hagar, when I first read the story again, I thought it was so cruel, kind of, to send her away with a child, and she was kind of helpless in the wilderness. But we know that the Hagar represents a covenant of sacrifice and...
The law covenant.
And in the same way, the Lord saw best that he would reject Israel as a nation, but they were provided for in the same way that Hagar was provided for. She was thirsty and the baby was about to die, and she saw the water, the pool of water, so she was able to replenish the little boy. So, and she did survive.
Very good. That's a good point.
Brother Joe and Brother Victor.
One of the more notable events in Abraham's life is his willingness to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice. And that would have been about in the middle of that 40-year period, which begins when Isaac was born. He was probably about 20 or so when this event took place. And of course, in that picture, Abraham is a type of God offering up his son, our Lord Jesus, typified by Isaac, to be the Redeemer for the world.
That's a beautiful portion of the story. Brother Victor and Brother Ted will be next. Thank you, Brother John.
Before the children was born to Abraham, Heavenly Father told them what's going to happen in Genesis 15:13. And he said unto Abraham, know of the surety that thy seed shall be stranger in the land that they serve them for, they shall afflict them for 400 years. And there was no children there, but already it was told him that your sons and grandsons gonna serve somebody else for 400 years.
Very good. Thank you. Brother Ted?
In the story of Abraham sacrificing or about to sacrifice Isaac, I think it's important to note that while God had promised these the land to him, and that his those of his prodigy would inherit the land, there evidently is a sense in which his obedience was a factor in the carrying out of the promise, because in the recording of that in Genesis 22, he says in verse 17 that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So he's showing that this was a very important aspect of what God promised Abraham. He was not only to leave his own homeland and go to where the Lord wanted him, but this was part of it also, his willingness to be obedient and offer his son.
Very good. It was indeed a wonderful proof of his obedience. As he waited for a long, long time, because, you know, 100 years and next another 20, when he rejoiced watching his son to grow, and then the Lord asked him to sacrifice him. So it was a wonderful example. Brother Dan and Sister Florence would be next.
Just going along with the same story is the fact that Abraham obviously had to believe in the resurrection, because if this was the promised seed and God was asking him to slay him, that he would also have to resurrect him again. And I think that that's brought out in Hebrews, where it says that he looked at things afar off. And I think that, you know, it is very significant that he did have to believe in the resurrection.
Very good. That's an excellent thought. Maybe I will ask Kasia to read a scripture from John 8, Gospel of John 8 and 6, where we are also told that Abraham had a pretty good knowledge what the Lord had in his mind or in his plan. We'll let Kasia to find the scripture in John 8, 6, and meantime we'll ask Sister Florence to give us her thought.
You want me to give it?
Yes, please.
I have two other lessons, and the one lesson is the lesson of hospitality when they entertained the three angels unawares, and I think that's a good lesson for us today. When we have conventions, we try to entertain brethren. And then the other lesson was the lesson of Hagar and Sarah, that even though Ishmael was the older of the two, and according to Jewish law, he would have been the inheritor, but instead Isaac was a child of promise, so even the Jewish nation will receive their blessing after the church class is glorified.
Very good. That's a wonderful point. You recall the words of Apostle Paul in Hebrews 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So that's referring probably to the story of Abraham. Kasia, would you? Yes. I think so. Well, let me try, but maybe I made a mistake. Yes, I probably made it. I was looking for the scripture where our Lord said that Abraham
was given the vision of the Lord's Day. He saw the Lord's Day. I probably misquoted that. Sorry for that. Maybe someone will be able to help us with that. Anyway, we'll welcome. Which one?
John 8:56, I guess. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad.
Okay, thank you very much. That's the scripture. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. So it is probably referring to the faith of Abraham, who was able to obey the Lord because he had this trust to the Lord's arrangements in the future, probably. Brother Erwin and Sister Violet.
Brother Dias, one of the scriptures that I like the scriptural passage that I like from Galatians, because Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says that the women did represent covenants. So in chapter 4, verse 30 and 31, it says, "But what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of a bondwoman, but of the free woman." And it's interesting on the chart here that Sarah dies, which would be the grace covenant, and then you have the wedding of Isaac, and that would be his bride. So the Sarah covenant has to be finished, like the grace period, and then you have the marriage of the Lamb.
Very good. That's a wonderful thought. Margaret mentioned earlier that Hagar represented the law covenant. Sarah represents the covenant of sacrifice or grace. And there was another wife of Abraham, which we did not mention yet, which represents the third feature of the plan, the new covenant, which is, of course, as you know, Keturah. But Brother Erwin is additionally pointing to the fact that Sarah had to die before Isaac took his wife and the wedding feast took place. Sister Violet.
This is just a side thought. I always thought that when Hagar went in the wilderness, she had a baby with her. But comparing Genesis 17:24 and 25, Abraham was 99 when he was circumcised. Ishmael was 13 when he was circumcised the same day. Isaac is born when Abraham is 100. So that means Ishmael was 14 years old when he went out with his mother. That's not exactly a baby.
Okay. Very good. Other lessons. Sister Joy, in the back.
I'm looking back to Genesis 14:18, where Abraham gave gifts to Melchizedek, and there are several references in the New Testament that relate us, compare us, call us the royal priesthood. And so as the priest of Levi, the Levitical tribe, paid homage in Abraham, so it will be that the Melchizedek priesthood is greater.
Very good. The beautiful picture mentioned in Hebrews about the Melchizedek priesthood was based on the event from the life of Abraham as well. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. I was always puzzled by the fact that Abraham specifically refused to take any payment there when he came back from the war, because he didn't want anyone to say that they paid him for anything. That took place also at the same moment in his life. Brother Walter.
I always, from the scriptures I read, I always could see that Abraham was, his faith was the most important criteria. But I read other scriptures after that, and it shows that his faith had to be strong enough for him to exercise works. And that, to me, is James, like 2nd chapter, 21st to the 24th verse. It shows that not only did he have that faith, but he had to show works, that just by bringing Isaac to sacrifice was one of the works that was attributed to him. So there's about four or five verses just in James alone.
Would you like to read them? Would you like to read
Yeah. James, and was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said that Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how by works a man is justified, not by faith only. I thought that was interesting that the two had to be tied together, that you could have a lot of faith, but if you're not doing anything about it, it's of no avail.
Very good. That's an excellent point. Thank you for bringing those verses. Sister Donna.
Another point, in chapter 17:1, he is still called Abram when he is 90 years old. But in the fifth verse, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. So this is when his name was changed from Abram to Abraham, when he was 90. Then he got the covenant.
Very good. We already mentioned Sister Wanda and Sister Dorothea would be next.
This is just a little one, but it's very, very heavy with importance. If you would kindly turn to chapter 22:16.
22:16.
Please. And said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. Not only has he said it before, but now, by myself I have sworn. So you do know that which was said, as we know the Lord's word will not come back void, but accomplish that which it was set out to do. He has said it by himself. I thought that was very potent.
Yes, it's very important. It's not only the invitation and the promise, the covenant, but also an oath, which really seals the entire arrangements with Abraham. Very good. Sister Dorothea.
Another side point is when Abraham's name is changed, the fifth letter, H, means grace. I thought that was nice.
Okay, very good. Margaret?
I enjoyed some of the lessons from chapter 13 and chapter 14 involving Abram. When Abram was, he was kind of living with Lot, and both of their flocks were flourishing, and they had to make a choice. They had to split the flocks and split the herdsmen. So Abram was always very generous, and he said to Lot, well, we have to separate. You be the one to choose. So Lot looked down at the valley of the Jordan, where Sodom and Gomorrah resided, and it was plentiful, and it was plush, and it was green, and it looked so much better, and he chose that area, whereas Abram chose what you might consider inferior land, but he still prospered even more. And of course we know that Lot, eventually his family and Lot ran into trouble too by living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And later on it shows also the character of Abram, because Lot ran into problems. He was kind of taken captive by a group that invaded, and so Abram took all of his men and all of his, you know, possessions pretty much, and put himself on the line, and including his family, and went and rescued Lot. So he was very helpful and very giving.
Very good, very noble too. That's an excellent point, Sister Florence. It kind of brings the lesson where George mentioned this morning, that sometimes we have to be satisfied with what we have. And Abraham clearly was. He didn't argue about the better land with Lot. Very good.
Okay, I think the moral of the story I'm going to mention is to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And the story is when Abraham was journeying in Egypt, he asked Sarah to say she was his sister and not his wife, because he was afraid that he would be killed if he said, if she said she was his wife. And she really was his sister also, by the way. In Genesis 20, verse 12, it says, she is my sister, she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And so in this instance, he used, you might say, spirit of sound mind. Both were true. And so, depending on the circumstance, sometimes we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves.
Very good. That's a good example. Brother George?
Another lesson I like, Brother Darius, is the promise to Abraham in 22:17 is that his seed would be as the stars of heaven and the sand of the seashore, and through his seed all the nations would be blessed. And I like the thought that ultimately all of mankind will become Abraham's seed and will be blessed. In Hosea 2, it's speaking about Jacob's trouble. We don't have time to go into it. He's talking about he's going to give them the valley of Acre, or a time of trouble. He's going to bring them back to their land. And then verse 23 says, I will sow her, S-O-W, as the farmer sows seed in the earth. And I will have mercy upon her that hath not made obtain mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. In other words, all mankind who weren't God's people will become God's people. And then they will be like the sand of the sea in Hosea 1:10. Yet the number of the children of Israel will be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. Those who are not my people will say they're my people. And then Isaiah 44:5 combines it kind of all together. It's a beautiful scripture. Isaiah 44, verse 5. It's talking of the kingdom. And it says, one shall say, I am the Lord's, Jehovah. And that, we believe, would picture the ancient worthies. And another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. Those will be actual Israelites indeed, according to the flesh. But there'll be a third class. And another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord and surname himself by the name of Israel. And so we have the ancient worthies, natural Israel, and then all the Gentiles who will surname themselves by the name of Israel. In other words, they will become Israelites indeed. So ultimately, all mankind will become Israelites indeed, one way or another.
Thank you very much for bringing this lesson. It's very important. Sister Alice will be next, and Brother Erwin.
Okay, I don't know if this is real truth, so maybe somebody could add to this. The first time the promise is given is before he leaves. In 12:1-3, if he leaves, this will be the promise. The second time is in the 7th verse. As a reward for his leaving, he receives the promise. The next time is 13:14, and it's after Lot is separated, and he may have thought Lot would be the seed indirectly. And he's separated. So the Lord gives him a promise. No, it's going to be different. And then in the next time is in 15 with Ishmael. Ishmael is circumcised, but he says, no, it's not going to be through Hagar. It's going to be through Sarah.
It would be 17.
I'm sorry.
Circumcision took place in 17.
Oh, okay. So then what was 15? There was
15 was another promise after rescuing Lot and the covenant, really.
Okay.
And the promise of the land.
Oh, that's when? Eliezer.
Eliezer, right.
Yeah, 15:2. He was thinking, well, okay, if it's not Lot, then it's Eliezer. And the Lord says, no. And he gives him the promise again. From thine ear he shall come forth out of thy own bowels. 15:4. Okay, 17... Okay, well, what about Ishmael? No, it's not Ishmael. It has to come out of Sarah, so he gives it again. Then the next time he gives it is, he refers to it in 18 and 19, but it's not actually a direct promise. And then the next time is 22:16 and 17, as a reward for his being willing to sacrifice Isaac, the Lord gives him the promise.
The oath.
So, I was trying to look at each time the Lord reiterated the promise. It was like after what he had thought didn't work. But the Lord said, well, it's going to happen, but it's going to be this way. And so there was each time there was a purpose as to why at that time and in that way that promise was given to him. And my question is, maybe someone has a thought, is why did he wait until the fourth or the fifth time in 17 to give the sign of the promise, circumcision?
Okay. Well, we have a question. Why did the Lord wait and postpone the sign of circumcision until, as it is described in chapter 17? That's a pretty difficult question, but if you have any thoughts, please share them with us. Sister Donna?
Well, we're in this chapter. I want to make a correction. I said Abram was 90 years old. He wasn't. He was 99. So he was 99 years old. And I saw this after I did that.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I don't see too many hands, Sister Alice. That means that the question is relatively difficult. I was going to ask a question which is similar to that. Okay, we have one hand up. Sister John.
Did Donna just say about how Abraham was only the father of the Jews until... No. Abraham was chosen while he was still uncircumcised. Is that what she said?
No. She All just right. corrected her thought she gave earlier on the age of Abraham when he was circumcised.
Abraham was chosen while he was still uncircumcised, and so Paul said, I believe in Romans, I have to look it up, but I have it here, that shows he was not just the father of the Jews, but he was also the father of all uncircumcised.
Yes. Very good. Any thoughts on Sister Alice's question? If not, we'll probably log it as a question for our question meetings on conventions days to consider, and we'll probably try to word it properly with your cooperation later. Any other lessons you may have on highlights from the story of Abraham, Brother Erwin?
What I like is God reveals himself in two different ways in the life of Abraham. In a 14th chapter, he says that he's God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. So he would have the right to give a land title deed to Abraham. That would be like the lesson from the definition of that name. But the one that I like even more would be in the 17th chapter, where in the first verse it says, I am God Almighty, and we recognize that that would be the El Shaddai, and that would be the definition according to different sources would be a personal God. So from this point on, I'm going to be a personal God to you. And God said to him, walk perfectly before me. So that would be his daily life. God would be with him. And then this would be the origin of the Christian life, where we say, our Father, which art in heaven. And then God overrules our daily experiences. So I think that's a beautiful thought in that El Shaddai.
Very good. Sister Violet.
That text that Joy was mentioning is Romans 4:10.
Would you quote it?
Well, it says, how was it then reckoned, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And then the whole chapter is on that, but that's a specific text.
That's right. Thank you for recalling the scripture for us. If you don't have any other lessons, maybe we'll restate the question of Sister Alice one more time. I had a question which is kind of similar. You can also record it in your mind. Maybe you have some thoughts. Where is really the Abrahamic covenant described in this story? If you had to pinpoint on this chart, where was the covenant made with Abraham? How would you answer this question? Maybe before we even start repeating the question Sister Alice had. Where, at which moment was the Lord entered into a covenant with Abraham? Because So far we heard several thoughts already, and I intentionally did not emphasize that different places in the Bible were mentioned, but my question now would be, where is it described, Brother Art?
In the second volume on 231, it mentions that Abraham was 75 years old when the covenant was made with him at the death of Terah.
Okay.
But I haven't studied it through to pinpoint it exactly where the pastor gets this point. But I think it's out of that scripture he concludes that.
Okay. Could you give us the reference to that?
12:4. The one you have up there.
Right, but the reference in the volume.
Well, 231, volume 2.
231, volume 2.
First paragraph.
Okay. Sister Donna would be next.
It's mentioned three times to Abraham that his seed would bless all the families of the earth. Genesis 12:3, 18:18, 22:18, and then to Isaac in 26:4, and to Jacob 28:14.
Okay. Well, I would like to keep the promise separate from the covenant. Brother George?
Well, I'm not sure, Brother Darius, which aspect you're referring to, but from one standpoint, based on Genesis 12, 1 and 2, where it says, "Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred and thy father's house, into a land that I show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and will bless thee." And so that didn't take place until, even leaving Haran, he didn't have that. It wasn't until he set a foot in the promised land. That was when he fully complied with the stipulation that he left his father's house and went to a land that I will show thee. And so when he crossed into the land that would become the promised land, that's when he fulfilled the terms, and that's when then this would take place. And it's in its technical fullest sense.
Okay. Anyone else would like to add to this? Where is the Abrahamic covenant described in this study? Margaret?
Are you looking in chapter 15?
Well, I don't know. I'm just asking a question. I'm looking at all the chapters.
Well, in chapter 15, for instance, verse 5, he said, the Lord says, "So shall your descendants be as the stars in the heavens."
Well, that's the question, Sister Gracia.
I think that the question that you're asking goes very closely with the question that Alice asked earlier. And I'm looking at Genesis chapter 17, verse 19, which says, God said, "Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." Now, I don't know the exact time frame here, but this comes immediately after the verses, verse 7, 9, and 10, where they've implemented circumcision, and I was wondering if there was a connection there.
Okay, very good. Sister Millie, and we'll have to, and Sister Joy.
Well, in the 17th chapter of Genesis, and it begins that Abraham was 99 years old, and God appeared to him and told him, "I am the mighty. Obey me and live, and you shall, as you should. And I will prepare a contract between us, guaranteeing to make you into a mighty nation." And so when you make a contract, wouldn't that be a covenant?
Very good. That's an excellent point, too. Sister Joy and Brother Mark.
Well, I think these are all right. But my guess is 16, after he had offered Isaac, "Because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you." And it goes on there.
Okay, very good. Brother Mark?
Yeah, I thought that passage too. And in the 18th verse where it says, "And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. It's like the Lord is now accepting his part of the contract is being fulfilled then.
Excellent. That's a very good point too. Sister Violet. And we'll have to close because our time is up.
Well, there's a text in Genesis 15:18. It says, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying unto thee, have I given this land.
So very good.
That says he made the covenant then.
Very good. I think we have a good homework ahead of us because all the scriptures are good and I think they're relevant and important. Because chapter 12, we have definitely there is a promise there. The Lord is making a deal with Abraham. 15:18 states clearly, 17 states clearly, and 22 states clearly. So maybe that would be another question we should consider. Where is it? Or maybe all of them are good. And how do they relate to each other? Before we close, we have one more thing. I would like Brother George maybe to have a mic and remind us about the videotapes. And then we'll be ready to close. Brother George.
Beloved Father, we come to thee with a heart swelled with love and for thy mercy in giving us the words that have been kept throughout the ages, to have studied the life of Abraham, to know his obedience and faithfulness. May we like both.